Alright mates, I just stepped out into Hell's Kitchen at 7:30 a.m. on a Wednesday, so this is what it sounds like, kind of in the middle of summer, it's August. Today I'm going to talk to you about the things that I think I wish I knew before becoming a strategist. And I'll give you an update about the things that have been going on. It's been a long time since I have done one of these, and I love doing these things, but I did one in Bulgaria and the sound was terrible, and I think I still posted it because I didn't listen to it before I posted it, and then I took it down and I got angry with myself for not being more professional. And then, you know, I've been seeing some YouTubers lately who kind of walk around their cities, and one of them, I'm going to get his name wrong, and it's not good, Peter Santanello, I think. I think I might have got it right. He's been walking around cities for a few years now. Started off in rural Ukraine, and he's done all over the place. He's been doing an interesting series in Appalachia about the culture there, the hills and the hollers, as well as addiction. And I'm like, oh gosh, I should have just been filming this stuff the whole time. And so I get cranky with myself again, and then I don't do it. July, didn't post any podcasts. June, I think we had 8 to 9. So if you haven't caught up with any of those, it's worth having a listen to, because I interviewed a lot of people who've been winning a lot of Effie awards, so some of the most effective agencies in the world. I kind of want to give you massive updates, but I also want to get to sort of some of the main content. Lots of stuff has been going on. I feel like I've just been making mistake after mistake after mistake. Everything from, I had 2 pairs of reading glasses. I'm a year into them. I lost one, another broke in my pocket, because yeah, I'm that kind of guy who carries glasses in his pockets. And then I got back to the gym. Since March, I was in Mexico City. Just before that, actually, someone sneezed right next to me on the treadmill. I got a bad knee. I just walk on the treadmill. And I've been doing this thing I saw on TikTok, which is sometimes I walk backwards for 5 minutes to try to strengthen what do you call it? The tibialis? That long thing, shin area. I got a flu, and then a week later I went to Mexico City. Definitely, there's a theme this year actually. I think I've been in a lot of rooms with mafia, but I was definitely in a restaurant with at least like 100 mafia people. That was confirmed by the agency people I was with, and they might know because a billionaire owns their situation. Not casting aspersions, I'm grateful. It was good fun. I think I either drank water, which I did, sorry, I just shouldn't have. It wasn't even much, but I think I drank a little bit of water in the apartment that I was staying in. But then we're in a comedy club for a couple of days, which is where I often try to get companies to do training sessions, just to get out of the place. And it, I don't know, where I was standing, which was on the stage, it smelled like sewage for 2 days, so it could have been that, who knows. Anyway, barely ate for a week or two, and then the 4 months of training I'd been doing in the gym, yep, shoulder started to hurt, felt I was getting tendonitis in the forearm. All kinds of things started to pop off. It was really, really frustrating. So I barely worked out for 3 to 4 months. And then I got back in this week. And I managed to do something I've never done before. I think I've pulled a jaw muscle. Now, if you know what an incline dumbbell row is, and then you can imagine me lying on it, but with my chin pushing into the seat because I was uncomfortable and nervous that I was doing it all wrong and I did it wrong, then that's how you pull a jaw muscle. For those of you who don't know what that is, imagine a bench, maybe it's 45 degree angle, but you're lying down on it face first. Your hands are just dropping to the ground, you got weights in them, and then you pull them up. That's the rowing motion. But what I learned is if you have your chin pushing into the bench, it's no good. A couple of days later, I went to the dentist. I said, I got this jaw issue, what's going on? And they cleaned my teeth. It was quite rough, actually, one of the rougher dental interactions that I've had. And the guy said, well, teeth look fine, after checking how old I was. Your teeth look fine. And then 2 days later, my glands started to swell up on the same side. So I don't know if they infected it or if I infected it or what's going on. There's some of the mistakes. A lot of my other mistakes involve ebooks. I launched the Portuguese version of my book on Amazon, and the formatting was all messed up. I checked it on a couple of devices, but not the right kinds of devices, so there's that. I've tested and checked the English and Spanish versions a lot, so I've put the English version of Strategy Use Your Words up on Amazon Kindle. It'll be available in a lot of markets around the world indefinitely, but I'll probably take it off the larger markets because I'm uncomfortable having a book that I believe is worth more than a few dollars up on Amazon for a few dollars. Did sell 500 copies last week. That probably would not sustain itself without working out paid advertising, etc. Because it's a niche book. It's a niche book. But if you, I woke up today and I saw a couple of nice reviews and photos on LinkedIn and Instagram, and that's why I was like, I'm going to get up and record a podcast. Other things coming up very quickly. Launched a new course called Write Yourself Into Public. That's on the Sweathead website. I'm probably going to turn it into a book. It's really interesting. It'll be a shorter book, probably 40,000 words, not 80,000 words. And I feel I can get that out this year. That would not be with a lot of promotion, and I'd probably price it pretty low for the Amazon Kindle. I'd love to talk to you about my e-commerce challenges, by the way, one of which involves my shipping company, or the fulfillment company, no longer working with DHL, unilaterally moving to FedEx, and now my international shipments cost double what they cost. And so when people say, hey, your book's really expensive, because it's $40 plus shipping, US, it'll take it to 45-ish, even though local shipping's now at 10 bucks. A few years ago, it was about 7. And international shipping, let's say to England, was 15, it's probably now about 25. Brazil was 35, now it's about 65 US dollars. So I'm losing money. I got to decide what to do. I wanted direct contact with people. It was not on Amazon until a couple of weeks ago. So I'm thinking about whether I shift everything to Amazon, pay for the way that they charge for things, or what to do. So it's just increasingly difficult doing small business, to be honest. Expensive. So lots of mistakes. Anyway, Write Yourself Into Public. There's a new course if you're trying to work out how to write more online. Subtitle, personal branding for people who cringe at the phrase personal branding. The next accelerator is coming up in October, 4 weeks with me. If you sign up in August at the Sweathead website, you'll get access to 2 masterclasses, one on comms planning with Maria van Buskirk from Media by Mother, and another by one of the most awarded strategists in the world, Sahar Braz, from Publicis Meenad, he's a CSO. They've been crushing it. 7:30 a.m. Can you hear that music? You probably can. I'm using a new microphone, so I don't know whether it's picking up or it's not picking up. And I'm just being a weirdo, walking kind of around Midtown. Gonna get a coffee. I'm actually gonna be in a room with people pitching to other people today for the first time in so long. So most of the sort of brand consulting work I've done in the past few years, it's all been remote. Barely, I can't remember anything that's been in person since, in about 6 years actually. But then 90% of what I do is training. I'm trying to build this little business. Final thing, sorry, I know this is a little bit indulgent, we're going to get to the content. Yeah, so we've got masterclasses, we've got the accelerator, trying to work out what to do with the Do Together, the conference later this year. It's just a weird economy. Been talking to people, try to get a sense for it, because I get the messages in the DMs about long-term unemployment strategists who are now 6 to 12 plus months unemployed. Sometimes they're aging out and they're panicking, not sure what to do. Happens quickly. Like, it doesn't happen and then it happens. That's basically what happens. And then just trying to talk to people in the business, because I know a few smaller consultants that are doing really, really well. Now, I can know a couple of people who've told me they've had their best year last year and this year, best years, because this hasn't finished, so they can't say this one. But then talking to some people in the agency world, I hear general stuff like this, like Q1 was a write-off, just stagnant. Q2 was a little bit better, but people aren't super confident about it. Well, they weren't confident about it. And then one new business person I know who consults with lots of agencies said most of their clients were down in the first half 30 to 40%. So it's kind of interesting. And then the second half feels like people are sitting on their hands just hoping things get better and hoping they don't lose their jobs. But also I'm getting messages from people who are like, I think I'm about to lose my job. What should I do? So there's a lot of this going on, and it's hard to know how much of this is structural. I do think a lot of it is. There's often a cycle in these downturns where more expensive people get knocked out. And so, you know, I was talking to the 4As about some of their research recently. They had a, I can't remember the name of the report, but sort of looking at the diversity of agencies, etc. But they found that the agencies that responded to their survey, 20% of the people in those agencies are now in their first year. And that's up by, I think it was 10 to 13%. So, you know, it's up 2%. So maybe that doesn't seem like a lot, but it, that seems like a pretty young industry. Like, there aren't that many other, surely, I don't know. Surely there aren't that many other industries where the first year ratio is that high. Why? It's cheaper. That's the reason. Because these people aren't getting trained much. They're not getting mentored much. They're often struggling and just swirling around. Unless you're in a place that is the best, and that's 5% of agencies. Be generous, call it 10. Call it 20. That's still 80% of people, like, in places that are kind of doing average work that nobody pays attention to. Even though everyone's debating the research by Dr. Karen Nelson Field about attention and the 2.5 second threshold, you can look that up. Add her name to the WARC acronym. And attention threshold, you find it, and then look at the debate about it online as well. So it's weird times. It's really weird times. And I know, you know, I run a business, I got a team, and I'm trying to work out where to place bets. So even with the Amazon thing, what I've noticed is putting the ebook up in English, okay, it's led to 500 plus sales in a week, which is great. If that was every week, holy crap, amazing, it won't be. It'll drop to like 5 to 10, maybe to 20. Unless we really work out like a paid advertising model. But the hardcover book has sold a little bit more than normal in the past week as well. You know, it's been averaging about 1,000 books. No, sorry. We sold 6,000 copies in 2 years. So it's been averaging more than 1,000 books a year. What am I saying? I just stocked up, so some of these numbers are, I'm a little bit confused by what I ordered, how many I've sold. Look, I would say without like pushing, probably do like 1,000 a year for another couple of years, I think. The thing is that some of these sales are now losing me money, so I gotta work that out. So much other stuff that I wanna talk to you about. I was in Ecuador, had a really good time actually, was pretty exhausted, went to 3 cities. Indulge me, I haven't done one of these, and I feel like if you turn up for these, you're not really here for the listicle that I'm going to go through, you're here for the, I don't know, the experience that I'm just a strange character with a funny accent in a crazy city that's super expensive and stressful to live in. Yeah, Ecuador, did 3 cities, Guayaquil, it's pretty dangerous right now, they had a curfew for a while there, lots of the drug trade from Colombia has moved in since the pandemic, I was told. And then, what else? All right, I'm on 8th Ave now, so I'm feeling a little exposed, walking around with this tiny little microphone. Cuenca. Cuenca's known for being a place where expats retire. I don't think they have tens of thousands. They probably have hundreds, maybe thousands, but not tens of thousands. It was cute. It's a cute little quiet for me. But I quite liked Keto and the team from Reinvention Masterclass. Shout out to Andreas Serrano, aka Jackie Highlander, and the whole team. But because I got altitude sickness on my way to Cuenca, called Soroche, they took me up 4,000 meters in about 2 or 3 hours, got me out of the car, and I was like, I'm going to vomit. And so that stayed with me for a while, actually. And even now, if I'm looking at YouTube and there's a drone shot, I start to get vertigo, which I didn't used to get. So, talking about mistakes and things breaking, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The drive from, I think it's called Quito Airport, yeah. LDU or something, Kido Airport, up to Kido. You go through this beautiful area called Kumbaya. They call it the Beverly Hills of Ecuador, which is, you know, I don't aspire to anything like Beverly Hills. I would not want to live somewhere like that. That's not my vibe. But for those of you in the US, you know, you can get an extremely lovely apartment there for, I don't know, $150,000. Gym, pool, security, which is a thing. Sorry if that's vulgar for those of you in countries where that's like $10 million. But everywhere I go this year, I'm looking up businesses for sale. Bulgaria, found a football team, 5 million euros. Ecuador, apartments for rent, apartments for sale, how much would it cost? Because, you know, I'm really lucky with what I get to do, but I'm living in a city that is just financially, I don't know, doesn't give a lot back in many ways. And so, yeah, Ecuador was really cool, and I know I'm wary to like exoticize cultures, but as a tourist, as a visitor, yeah, as a gringo, world, what they call me? World champion number one gringo. That's the title I got. Because I got sorache, or vertigo, altitude sickness. On my first day, second and third day, I got sunburnt and it was raining. And then every time I met people, I stick out my hand like a gringo, and everyone pushes it away, and they're like, stop being a weirdo, give us a hug or a kiss on the cheek. And I don't know, I like that. I'm sorry, I'm simple. In Brazil next week, and I know Brazil's really stressed, right? Oh, it's generally just stressed, political situation, the gap between the rich and poor. There's a book called Soconomics, and it says there's no point in putting on a World Cup football tournament or any big sporting event except for the happiness of your people, unless your Gini, G-I-N-I, coefficient, which measures the gap between rich and poor, is this low, or this big, I can't remember. And Brazil, this was written before the World Cup in Brazil, where they did have a lot of protests and theft and all kinds of stuff. But Brazil is like off the charts and just shouldn't have hosted, according to the research. But I'm there next week. Got a few events, three events happening at Hacktown. I'm doing a masterclass in Sao Paulo. If you want details about any of that, just DM me on Instagram or one of the platforms, or you could Google it. But yeah, the masterclass in Sao Paulo. Hopefully we'll have 20 or 30 people. I think I've got 6 to 7 events in 7 days. So I'll be working through the weekend, trying to work out how to mess with people. In September, I'm in Georgia, Batumi, Georgia, at Ad Black Sea Festival. Got a talk, and then I'm doing a masterclass. And one of the interesting themes for me is, like, in a lot of these countries that people sponsor, or companies sponsor what we do. So not only have I been in rooms with mafia, and maybe there's an overlap between the next thing I'm about to say, but a lot of banks and telcos have been sponsoring the events that I'm at, or like my events. I'm not selling the sponsorships, but other people are. It's super interesting. I guess they're the companies that have the money, aren't they? But I don't know. I can't imagine a bank in the US sponsoring stuff I did, or am I just thinking too small? The other funny trend. I'll give you another funny trend. You're here for the parasocials, all right? You're here for the parasocials. Content coming. I do these talks in foreign countries, and someone will go, oh, there's a lunch. There'll be a vagueness to it. There's a lunch, or we are having lunch, or we are having dinner. And in my head, I'm like, oh, great. Probably a big group of people, maybe everyone who's organized it. And a few times now, it's like me and someone who owns a bank. And I'm like, because I'm 45 now, okay, but in my head, I'm 12. So I'm sitting there opposite a person who's, I could even be younger than me. In some of these countries, they're probably younger, actually. Maybe my age, a little bit older. And I'm like, I'm a little boy. Why am I, like, what's going on? So I become a pet. I've become a pet. Oh my gosh, so much other stuff going on. Okay, let's get to the content. I know you want the premium content. I am thinking about the YouTubes. A couple of show ideas I'm stewing on. The challenge is it's a full-time job. And this year what I was hoping to do with Sweathead and the business is kind of get systems in place, people in place, so that I could push something to the next level. That's really what I'm looking for. Like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? But it's been a tough, year. You know, we're doing okay. But it's been a tough year. Very busy year. It's challenges with the website. But anyway, all right. So that was pre-content. Now, I know some of you don't mind that sort of stuff because, you know, it's midnight where you are and you're just using this to fall asleep because I have dulcet tones. So, things that I wish I knew before becoming a strategist. I think the first one's a little bit of a party trick. You know, you could swap a word or two here out for another word or two and use it probably ad infinitum. Strategy is a coping mechanism for a hectic brain. Now, I've got a bouncy brain. I am exam-oriented, study-oriented. I like to do well at an exam. I'm competitive. I like to do very well. I like to see my name up there, okay? I like to see my name up there, and I've done okay. I did well enough to be studying law at the age of 17. How's about that? With a shaved head while making rap websites. I don't casually drop that stuff in, but, you know, once every 3 or 4 years. Bouncy brain. I have a lot of feelings. Not all strategists do. Especially the guys. Am I right? Oh, that's so sexist. And like all the other things. Cisgenderist. Oh, it's all good. I'm joking. But yeah, bouncy brain. A lot of feelings. Prone to the emotions. And the ones you don't want. Unless you can make fun of them. That's the only way they serve me. Or like get a poem out of them that I never share. Or a book, which I do share. I like variety, so a lot of novelty seeking, probably relatively high in openness. Although, ironically, living in New York, because there's so much stuff here, and you sort of see it all for a few years, and then you're just trying to pay for the ability to be near it without seeing it. That's my experience, especially having teenagers, you know, kids, teenagers. Relatively high in openness, but I don't explore as much. I think the pandemic just turned a lot of that stuff off in me. It's hard, man. Even when I travel now, I'm like, do I really want to go to a gallery or a museum? You know, I'm not really into going to see churches. I'd rather go see stand-up comedy. But the buzz isn't there with some of those things like it used to be before the pandemic. And so strategy is just one of these jobs where if you need validation, you're definitely seeking validation, where you like to explore the world, where you're curious, which means you're high in openness, variety-seeking, novelty-seeking. It's a good job. Now, why is that useful to know now? Well, because you got to work out why you need to cope, because otherwise you'll get 10, 20 years in, things will change, you'll be in relationships that don't serve you, or you'll be in relationships in a way that doesn't serve you, or maybe the other person. And so I just think it's I'm saying like it's a big epiphany, it's just worth thinking about. What are the things that you solve for in yourself in a strategy job? What are they? And then, great, congratulations, because that's amazing. It's a beautiful fit. But then, what if the job disappears? How are you going to solve those things? And are there things that you could work on? Change is hard. Most people don't change that much. A little bit here and there. Maybe as a human, you can measure change over a decade, but difficult over a year. Sure, you get a new behavioral stack in place. Exercise, nutrition, supplements, meditation, yoga, new friends, dance a little, whatever you're into. Get outdoors in nature. Yeah, that's great. But change is slow in the happening if it really, really happens. And often you're going to be modifying to people that you have to be around through work or relationships that you're connected to. So anyway, strategy is a coping mechanism for hectic brain. I say this, Julian Cole says this, Farris talks about this too. I don't think the career lasts that long. So the career doesn't last that long. You know, I'm talking to people at senior levels that I know, and they're talking about how, you know, their bosses are all wanting to replace people with AI. Maybe over time they replace people and then AI enhances the people who are there, but it's not immediately going to lead to more people in the workplace in our industry. Fortunately, the research shows, there's one piece of research, so I shouldn't say the research, came out of the Philippines. It was looking at a sort of a knowledge-based workforce, more customer service, Sorry, I don't know how loud it is because that motorbike was really, really loud. It's 8 o'clock. They were looking, at a group of people, and they found that AI helps low performers be average, or people who are new to the company be better. But it wasn't really helping people who knew what they were doing. So the career doesn't last that long. Why? Well, most people don't start off in a strategy job. They spend a few years doing another job. From our research, majority is account management. I was doing production, which involved account management, user experience, and all kinds of other stuff when we didn't have strategists. We did basically everything the designers and developers didn't do in a digital agency. So maybe you're 25 to 30 before you even get the job. And then the numbers drop off dramatically after 40. So why? Well, for a very, 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 very long time, if you were a woman and had a baby, you often didn't come back to work. Often the company made that happen. Sometimes you chose, but it was often the company. I don't know what the split is, but I've seen it a lot. I saw it a lot in my 20s. It was just known. And also when you have kids, for men and women, whatever gender you're into, or identify as, sometimes the industry is too volatile for you, it's too young for you, it doesn't respect your boundaries, it takes all your time. There's all of that too. Okay, I'm going to go one block east towards, I guess, 7th Ave Broadway. Don't know if it's going to get louder or quieter. So the career doesn't last that long. What does that mean? Man, you got to work out how to enjoy it while you're in it. Or maybe leave earlier and find something else so that you can actually get into that for a while. You definitely need a backup plan by your late 30s. I'm not scaremongering. I'm reporting. 3. One of the things I wish I knew before becoming a strategist, great planning happens at great creative agencies. Yeah, I look at those lists of who's winning awards in strategy. It's no coincidence. They're at some of the best creative agencies. There's a quote that I get, one of these quotes I mention every year or so. I interviewed Alana Bryant, who was one of the first American planners in England. Yeah, she's been a big CSO, still does a thing. And she said, in the 90s, she was like, we wouldn't have joined an agency that didn't have a planner's name on the door. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't I know that? Because I kept buying all these nonsense stories from companies. Because I moved to New York, it was 12 years ago. I joined Saatchi & Saatchi. It was really cold. The office, the people, I felt lied to. You know, I took a job as a global planning director on Lenovo. And I get there and they're like, no, we want you to be head of digital strategy. And I'm like, look, I know I've been doing digital strategy for years, but I've written about this. I don't believe in digital strategy. It's like being head of screen strategy. I felt that 13, 14 years ago, and I was an early digital strategist. The reason is that there are more useful terms that help you be more specialized, more focused. So, are you going to be focusing on user experience, business transformation, which is one of those terms that's not that useful? And everyone's doing it because they're all so fancy. Social and content, also vague terms, but like, what's a digital strategist? Back then, it meant we took care of a small website, helped with an email newsletter or two, and maybe did some early social posting. So there wasn't that much really going on. I mean, I've spec'd hundreds of pages of CRM and e-commerce systems, so I did that kind of stuff, but that's not really digital strategy. That becomes the next specialization. All right, another one. I can see the Late Show with Stephen Colbert building. That's where I'm at. It's 53rd and Broadway. But the point there was like great planning happens at great creative agencies. Another thing that I don't know. I think I was a little confused because I don't know whether it's genes or just how I grew up and moving a little bit between places and being overly analytical and introspective. But I've sort of been around a lot of groups of friends, and I have friends. I have friends. But I've often been more comfortable, like, against the wall or outside looking in. That's probably one of the reasons that, you know, I did music radio and I put on events. I did have a phase when I was 15 or 16 where I loved dancing, I loved being in the middle of the circle, go to raves or under 18s parties, and I loved it. But I didn't really dance with people. There were people there that I knew. I just had some sick rave moves, you know? You could do that thing on from House Party where you could, like, it's not a rave thing, House Party's hip-hop, but, like, use your right hand to hold, like, your left foot, and then use your right leg to jump through it. And I practiced that. And I could jump off the ground. And I could do, like, the running man and stuff like that. I love that stuff. I wouldn't say I was dancing with people, though. It was always very isolated. So, here's my point. And then working in agencies, like, you have good friendships. I'm still, like, quite relatively close to, like, people that I worked with, like, at Leo Burnett in Sydney a long time ago, and in various other places. But it took me traveling around the world. Flex. I tell these stories quite often, so you might have heard it. But I remember being in Stockholm and Sao Paulo within a few months of each other. Maybe it was a few years. And I was like, man, I don't have these conversations with other people. And in New York, I really don't have them. Been here 12 years, we moved to the Upper West Side, we just moved down to Hell's Kitchen. I was, 33 when I moved here. I had a 5-year-old, 3-year-old at the time. I was 35. I just found the Upper West Side super conservative, expensive, super conservative. And most of the people there were just kind of careerist Americans. It's not a diss. It's what America does to people. But often, a pretty big age gap. Pretty big age gap, sometimes 15 to 30 years, just based on our life stage and I guess who we get around, how we get around. That's not everyone. You can diss me for what I just said, by the way. It was just how I felt. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to connect with anyone, and everyone I knew was in Brooklyn. But the other we didn't want to live in Brooklyn. So I spent a decade living somewhere where I had a friend and a half. You might be listening to this now, and if you are, I hope you're doing okay after the operations. Yeah, Hell's Kitchen is better, but I'm still not as cool. I still don't have local friends. I got to work that out. Got to work it out, mate. So, I learned in Sao Paulo and Stockholm. That strategists are my people. Bounce from topic to topic. Most strategists are not that judgmental when you're with them. There's some weird vibes online. Yeah, it's often like, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old white dudes who seem really conservative for people who are strategists and account planners in advertising. It's a weird vibe. There's often an English accent. I'm not dissing. I have a British passport, English passport. I don't even know what to call it. I have one of those passports from that country. My dad's from Warrington. Yeah, so we're not, like, posh. I don't even know. I've never met any of his friends. No, I met, like, two of his friends, but no one in England, so I don't know. But they're simple. You know, he didn't go to university or anything. Lovely guy, but we're simple. Gosh, so many weird things are coming out today. I did 8 months of therapy. If you want to talk about that, I just finished. It's expensive. Cost-benefit analysis, I'm not sure. It's 50% effective, they say, but, like, I don't know. Strategists are my people. Number 5, people use my strategy traits against me. These are things like being an idealist, thinking, like, loving progress, thinking you can change things and have an impact. The sociopaths you hire, you know that they're your buttons. You can have other buttons as well. You know, like, you seek validation through your intellect. So, oh, here's another project. Do you want to go prove yourself on this? So people will use your traits against me, and I'd say, well, I've made some dumb moves. I lost 2 roles in a row in New York, and that led me to do what I do. One, I joined Leo Burnett in New York to help run it, and they closed it down a month or two later. It made sense on paper. It wasn't my fault. But, like, don't hire me. I wasn't looking for a job. I just wanted to be doing work that was more like what we were doing back in Sydney, which I couldn't get close to in this country. So that died. And then I took a role in a big, big PR firm. I made a lot of good acquaintances and good friends, some of whom I'm still connected to. And if you're in that PR firm, I know which one I'm talking about. The current CSO is one of my people. Lovely. I won't make it awkward. It's very easy to make PR people feel awkward because they're very rigid. So if you say anything that's off script in life, they will flex and flinch and pee their pants a little bit, so I'm not going to do that right now. But I ignored one of my red flags. And one of my red flags is this. If I was interviewing with a leader, I would often end the interview with a question like this. This is how smart I thought I was. Oh my God. And I just believe that most leaders that are good or that I'm interested in, they've been through some stuff. And so I said that to this person at a breakfast down in Soho. I said, that's what I think. Have you ever been through hardship? And the person just sort of blinked blankly at me and said, no. Like 10% angry? And I would say it's probably one of the least empathetic people I met. And I got caught up in all this gender stuff. And I was like, well, it's a woman, so she must be empathetic. And no. So that was just a weird experience. Strange experience. And so my red flag was like, if you don't have an answer to that story, I shouldn't take the job. But I was just sick of all the other, I was sick of everything. I probably spent only 5 years in New York, and yeah, it's a privilege, but if you come here to do good work, because you're going to be working long hours, but if you come here to do good work, and you're not, and you had a phase in life where you did, and it was, like, not easier, I mean, I guess easier, and then you just realize you're speaking a different language even though you're all speaking English, it will fuck you up, it will mess with you. And then you realize that you're messing with yourself because you're not understanding the game that's being played. And all of these, to me, what were very painful experiences. Yeah, privileged, but also painful, right? Because, you know, I felt like I was okay at what I did. And then made two really bad decisions in a row. Well, the first one wasn't good either. And I'm like, okay, so problems me. And then I, over time, I was like, well, what do I like to do? I love to write, I love to teach, I love to talk. I like doing strategy. I don't like the bureaucracy. I don't like over-engineered scopes. Sometimes I work with companies and they show me these decks or the scopes that they're selling in. Maybe I'm helping them or something, and I'm three slides in and my eyes are just like, what? I'm just falling, I just can't. I just can't. I don't have the patience. Did the pandemic do that, or did I do that some years? Is it just about getting older? No, I think as you get older, if you're still engaged, and you practice and you think about these things, the fundamentals just become more fundamental. There's a Bruce Lee quote that I use in my book. I love using this one. I'll butcher it right now. Which is, before you start doing martial arts, a kick is a kick and a punch is a punch. There's a middle sentence, but the final sentence is, you know, once you've mastered, I'm not saying I've mastered, but once you've mastered martial arts, a kick is a kick and a punch is a punch. And what this means is that you go through these crazy phases, like doing spinning hook kicks and all this crazy stuff you don't need to do, and then you realize you just need a handful of really good techniques, but you need to be excellent at them and practice them all the time. It's the same with strategy. So I know everyone's like falling them over. I know I write frameworks and I help people fill in frameworks, but there's such like a gold rush for frameworks online. I don't think this is hypocritical of me pointing it out. So, oh, here are all the frameworks. It's like, yeah, cool. Still got to think. Got to learn how to think. Framework doesn't do the thinking for you. Best framework for this. Best framework for that. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. The four points, which is the one that I like to use, although I'm not precious, I use whatever works. I like the four C's, I let get to by. McCann have six C's now. So they've added conscious inclusion and comms or context truth. You can listen to Mario Morbi talk about that in a podcast from a couple of months ago, FB7. Just Google it, because search and discovery for podcasts is terrible. It's terrible. But yeah, it's not about the best framework. Like, I can tell you that some of the biggest work that happened at Leo Burnett in Sydney, which is the most prolific agency I've worked at, I was there for under 3 years. I didn't realize how lucky I had it in some ways. I just could not slow down. Even though that was a fast and high-performing agency, I was used to publishing magazines and doing events and moving quickly. And I don't like authority and all these things. And there was not a lot of authority there. It's Australia, right? It's a flat, usually a really flat culture. And we were kind of left to do our own thing and encouraged to do our own thing, which is beautiful. And in a way, I took it for granted. And I'm a mistrusting person. You know, I found it hard to trust adults as a child. I'll say that. Okay. Not making a big deal of it. It's just deeply in me as I become an adult. Do I even trust myself? And yeah, I probably just couldn't slow down enough and work out how to be more of a worker and have a holiday or a vacation and enjoy that. And because holidays and vacations I find quite stressful, my brain goes a bit crazy. I've had like massive depressive episodes on long weekends in my 20s, really bad, like one really bad one. I get a little bit triggered around long weekends or holidays, vacations. We got like a high stress, high achieving little household, so that doesn't help. Always going to be striving, doing the next thing, paying the next big New York bill. Even back then in Sydney, it was that. Okay, so I've given you 5. Strategy is a coping mechanism for a hectic brain. If the career doesn't last that long, great planning happens at great creative agencies. Strategists are my people. People use my strategy traits against me. It's one more. Bonus one. Please don't tell me I'm taking 6 minutes of content and turning it into 40. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe I need that feedback. I have been studying a bunch of YouTubers that I quite like, and I'm like, man, I gotta do this stuff. I gotta do series on the podcast. I gotta be more epic. Just need a bit more energy. I've been working hard for you. But I think another one is like, most companies won't change much. Or if you're going to join a company and you're buying into like a change narrative, it's got to be a 5 to 10 year process. Most change initiatives fail. It's like 80% according to research published in Harvard. Maybe higher. It's around that. And I bought into that a lot, like, oh yeah, we need a change agent. Because I grew up, you know, I did 10 years doing user experience and content and digital, and then, well, 28, which is basically 10 years, because I've been making websites since a teenager. 28, moved into account planning, had a 50-50 role, digital, and basically creative briefs. And so, and there weren't many people who did that. Probably none. Maybe a handful in the world. It's a weird time, weird moment. And definitely not people who've done that. And also been in public, you know, publishing, and we could talk about SEO or structuring websites. So it was weird. It was a weird role. Well, no, it wasn't a weird role. It was good. But I always got hit up with, yeah, we need change agents. Agencies are really hard to change. The Innovator's Dilemma is a good book from the 1990s. Clayton Christensen. It's worth reading that. What holds agencies back? Well, look, agencies have kind of messed up their business model by splitting everything out so they could triple and quadruple count it. And yes, it does lead to people like Sadoun, the head of Publicis, saying things like creativity is not accretive to Publicis. And I don't think he's criticizing creativity there. I mean, his background was, I think it's TBWA. He's been around creative agencies for ages, even though people on LinkedIn were coming at him going, oh, you're saying creativity doesn't grow companies. What he's saying, I believe, and this is based on talking to people in agencies, because most agencies are shrinking or flat. I mean, I go to San Francisco, and I'm like, how big is Agency X now? I'm like, wasn't that 800 people a while ago? And now it's like 100. Like, we're talking about these kinds of shifts with a lot of agencies. Think about Goodby Silverstein. How big was it? How big is it? All these, like, Ogilvy had a building right near, pretty near where I live right now. And now I think there's like Ogilvy and Gray and all these, forgive me if I'm getting names wrong, they're all in the one company, all in the one building near that famous building that, oh my God, and Henstone, what's it called? That one that's like a tiny triangle. Oh my God, I forgot it. Right. And I remember, again, I was always a young guy in weird management situations without any power, but like in my 30s, mid-30s, you know, I'd be talking to people who are, some of whom you would know, who were probably in their 50s and 60s at the time, and they're like, yeah, the main reason we keep the agency brands alive is for the employees. yeah, it can help us manage conflicts of interest, but we don't want it. So the holding companies want to kind of become a singularity. And then over the years, that's led to things. I don't know where these plans are at, but it's led to things, you know, like the holding companies setting up their own, what do you call it, unified production companies, where they try to force their agencies to use them to save money or to earn the money, and also to have, well, to earn money. But then a lot of the creative teams are like, yeah, but I want to work with other people. So they're my six. I hope you're all doing okay out there. I don't get a lot of feedback about the pod. If you've got thoughts, prompts, suggestions, just DM me on the Instagram. I appreciate hearing it. Looking for a full-time content creator to help. I guess that's what we'll call them. Social media manager, content creator, to help with what we're doing. And I think in 2024, I'm probably at that point where if I can just hold things together for this year, which I will, we will, the team will, I'll probably put on a few full-time people. That's my goal. I'm interested in having like a content studio. You know, for like maybe Colombia. Brazil is really difficult to do business in. India, maybe Bulgaria, Georgia, I don't know. Romania, I hear great things about. But anyway, if you enjoy these monologues, thank you. Appreciate it. Take care. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend, subscribe to our newsletter, find us on Instagram or LinkedIn at Sweathead. And if you're interested in finding out about our strategy, memberships, company training, or books, visit sweathead.com. Whoop, whoop.